Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have got a star-studded show today. Both my guests are mega stars in the quilt industry, and I am so excited to have them on here because we are going to learn so much about them and hear what's new and how they work and how they think. So our first guest today is Eleanor Burns, and I know that many of you have learned to quilt from Eleanor, from her Quilt in the Day books, watching her videos, watching her TV shows, and the most exciting thing is that Eleanor was just inducted into the Quilters Hall of Fame, and so we are going to hear all about that ceremony. So let's get Eleanor on here. So hi, Eleanor.
How are you today?
Oh, this is so exciting to have you here. Thanks for being on.
Well, thank you.
So tell me, Eleanor, how was the Quilters Hall of Fame event? I mean, that is so exciting for you.
Oh my gosh, I think I'm still tired from it, Pat. It was so exciting. I think it was the greatest honor ever bestowed onto me. And gosh, I have to say, it was a lot of work, too. I had to smile for days.
Oh, yes, smile for days.
I had to smile for days.
Yeah.
The Quilters Hall of Fame is held in Marion, Indiana. It's at the home of Marie Webster, who is the mother of quilting in America. And my whole family flew in.
Oh,
not only from California, but also from Pennsylvania. So it was just a great reunion. All five of my grandchildren were there, and they go from 5 to like 6 weeks.
Oh,
so that was so much fun for me. But the first thing we did was go into the public library, and I hung 35 of my favorite quilts, or actually quilts that tell a story about my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung it like a museum. And to walk in and see your quilts, like with lighting, and it was just great. It was awesome.
So of those 35 quilts, Eleanor, what was one of them? Can you tell us what one of them was that you hung that day?
Well, of course, my first one was there, and it's still not finished, Pat.
No.
I mean, this is the 34th year for me, and I found, and I just could not believe all the things that I found once I started looking. I'm such a pack rat. I'm one of the original saver for pickers, I think. The pickers would have a great time with me. But there were some real old ones that were like 30 years old. And I had like all the Concord fabric with the pin dots.
Oh, yeah.
And every couple of years, I had one of my quilts hanging up to my most recent one, which is just Tales from First Ladies. Mm-hmm. And that got center showing. I really loved it. The lighting was beautiful on it. But for three times, I had to walk guests through the library and tell them all my stories. Mm. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then we did a luncheon, and at the luncheon, I did a lecture called You Ask, and it's all those questions that I write down that people actually ask me when they're visiting me at the quilt show, and I threw scraps. I brought bags of scraps, and we threw that, and actually, my granddaughter Ellie and her little cousin and I all had tiaras and boas, and we danced for them. That was really cute. And then the evening, the award dinner, when they actually put, you know, the medal around my neck, my two sons spoke, my brother spoke, my cousin, my friends. It was awesome. That's all I can say.
Oh, did you actually also teach a class, or you just absorbed it the whole time?
I was absorbing, that's true.
Yeah.
I did teach a lecture for Tales of First Ladies.
Okay. So no sit-down classroom for you this time. That was too much. Yeah.
No, but I think the greatest thing was when I walked into the dinner, they gave me a standing ovation.
Oh, Eleanor.
And I have to tell you, I'm just so easygoing. I had just pulled the curlers out of my hair. I hadn't brushed my hair. I was loaded down with things for my grandchildren to entertain while they ate, and it was just delightful.
Well, you are my hero, Eleanor. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but thank you.
You really are. Great. You're amazing. You're amazing. You started your business in 1978, is that correct?
Well, I call it when I started, but that's when I wrote my first book.
Okay.
But you realize I had 2 years before that where I had to teach myself how to quilt.
Oh.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah, and you still have an immense passion. This is why you are my hero. You know, you have,
you
make everybody so excited about wanting to quilt, and you yourself seem to still enjoy it as a career all this time. Yeah.
Well, you said, what's my hobby? My hobby is quilting.
Yeah. You know how many people answer that are in it as a job? It's amazing. It's like we just love it so much that we want to do it all the time.
That's what we want to do. I know. Yeah. I'm so fortunate to have a job that I can take home and still do at night, still be happy, and make money at it. I mean, to support us. It's just great.
Yeah, you support your family. You support other people's families. You have an incredible, incredible business, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Now, tell me a little bit about just thinking back, when you took that leap and published your first book. I mean, nobody was publishing their own books, and you did.
I know.
Was that, like, scary, or did you just say, you know, I just have to do this?
Well, I had been teaching my class, The Log Cabin, and my students just started begging me because they said they wanted to tell their families in other parts of the country, and it was too long of a letter. And so they wanted pictures so they could really explain my technique. So I just did it really because my students wanted me to, so they could share it with others. And then in the end, I did it to support my family. I had to put food on the table. So I had no big aspirations. I'm like this shy little small town girl that just, you know, loved what I do. So never ever did I think that I would be doing this 35 years later. Never, ever.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just sort of something to get going, and then it just kept right on.
And then figure it out as life goes. So anyhow, I feel so very blessed that I feel like I've been given a talent that I can, you know, share with others and make them as happy as it makes me.
Yeah, and you're very fun, Eleanor. You always have exciting themes for what you do. Tell me a little bit right now. You have like Elle's Kitchen that's going on at your site. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. That is a really fun one. Orion, my youngest son, suggested a kitchen program last year. He said, you know, you can just come on, do the Julia Childs thing, you know, throw your food on the floor if you want to, and teach a block that is named after a food and just have fun. Okay, Orion, it's like he thinks that, you know, I just kind of do this all overnight, but actually I think about it a lot, and it's been great. I have these great chef's hats now that are huge. I was given a really comical hat that had the seven basic food groups, which has kind of changed. I wore that. Last month I did the cheese block, and I had a cheese head, of course, from Wisconsin on. But people really enjoy it. I actually set up a cooking table and have a lot of fun with it. One month I was complaining about how my bread didn't really raise, and then they all pointed out that I was putting in baking soda instead of baking powder. So I've learned a lot. And the month that I did hearts and gizzards, nobody wanted to eat my hearts and gizzards.
Oh, no.
But it's a really fun sampler quilt. We're doing it in 12-inch blocks and 6-inch. In the very center is one big basket block that's called Cherry Blossom. Mm-hmm. But all of my students, they take my directions and they make their own spin to it. And that's what's so fun. They come back with their blocks the next month and share them with everybody. So We're totally enjoying it. It will be my next book I'm working on, and I know I'm going to have a lot of the students working because all around the country they're watching me on my media theater, and they're planning on submitting their quilts for photography, and so it's going to be something.
So now they can watch this from your website. So they can go to ElinorBurns.com, and on your bottom right side, there's a button that says Quilt in a Day Media Theater, and that takes you over here to your Quilts in the Kitchen videos.
Exactly. And I just call it Eleanor Burns Unleashed or Eleanor Burns Raw. Last month, I walked from the front of my sewing studio to the back, and honestly, my skirt completely fell off.
Oh, no.
And my son, Orion, he was so fun. He just went right to the floor, and we're laughing hysterically so the whole audience can see it. And one of the ladies said, "Well, Al, it's a good thing you've had on Christian underwear."
Well,
I guess I know what that is now.
Oh, my God.
But anyhow, whatever happens, it's there.
Oh, and you're filming this in your California or your Kentucky studio?
In California. We've always had a studio. We're in a warehouse. The fabric store and the classroom and the warehouse are all together. And so we're so lucky that our local customers come in and sit in the audience. Mm-hmm. But I have around 400 people that are doing it by mail, and I don't know how many thousands more are just watching it, even if they don't want a quilt. They find it better entertainment because they usually don't swear.
Oh, well, that's good. We're gonna take a quick break, Eleanor, and we'll be right back.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here with Eleanor Burns, and she was just inducted into the Quilters Hall of Fame, so that was exciting to hear about, Eleanor. So tell me about your newest book that you had, the First Ladies Quilt Hanging in the Museum. Tell me about that project. It's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Well, it is done with reproduction 1800 fabrics. There's 9 different ladies that I selected. And what I do in the beginning is just go through Block Base or Barbara Brackman's book, and I really search and try to find out actual blocks. They're traditional blocks named after the different ladies. And then I start doing research. And this one, I called it Tales of First Lady. So It's supposed to sound like you're going to get a lot of juice.
Yeah.
And I did. I found a lot of fun things.
My favorite one
was Secrets of the First Ladies. They're no longer secrets anymore. But then I designed how to sew the blocks. That's my big thing. Mm-hmm. They look traditional, but I have to come up with these spiffy kind of ways to sew them together. So you're like totally amazed that it works so well. But I used an antique setting, and my favorite are the eagles right in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's 4 eagles, and they were called, that quilt was called the Union Quilt in history. And there are now many antique quilts that I'm finding that have the eagles on them. But on stage, we have this full-size eagle come out. And we have these silly eagle masks. And just, you know, every time we come up with the name of the book, the blocks come next, the whole thing, then we have to go on the internet, look for costumes, look for songs from that time period. That's what's really fun. There's quite a few songs that are historical songs, mm-hmm, from the campaigns of their husbands that are fun
cool
to sing. Yeah, it's really fun. I enjoy history, so it starts making me work and think whenever I know what I'm going to do. Have to lay it all out and practice and then take it on the road.
So are you singing also, Eleanor? I mean, do you like to sing, or is it...
You know what? When I'm on stage, if Orion is with the microphone, he turns my microphone off. I am the flattest singer ever, but I love it, you know, it's a good thing he turns me off so they can hear the recording instead of me. But
I see. So you're lip syncing when you sing it occasionally.
I'm lip syncing, so, Yeah, because I think my dad told me that when I was younger, that I couldn't sing. And so, you know, you're self-conscious when your dad tells you something. But
it hangs on,
too,
doesn't it, sometimes?
You seem to overcome it quite well,
Eleanor.
Oh, well, I was very quiet when I grew up. And I think the first time it was pretty painful, but somehow, if people laugh, just if they laugh, mm-hmm, and we have a good time, I'm okay. I can do almost anything. Sometimes
the laughing, and that's why it's fun.
That's why it's fun, and they learn. Yeah. That's what they say. They learn. They pay attention. And even school children that are being homeschooled, they tell me that they like to watch my program on television, and they pay attention to the history segments because it brings it alive for them. You know, it has more meaning for them. So it's good. I love it. If I don't get laughs, I feel like, oh, no, I've lost it.
I know. Sometimes you have to say, now, you're supposed to laugh at that part. Do you have to tell them that occasionally? They get too serious?
Yes, I know. When I say something totally off the wall, I've found the more off the wall it is, the better they like it. Then they roar.
So when you're teaching, Eleanor, what are your classes like? I mean, I know you teach a lot, but are your classes sort of a process, or do you have like classes that are tips, or are they just from your new book? What do you usually offer, or what are you offering lately?
I teach specifically from my books and my patterns, and they are definitely a how-to first I start out and I just show the quilts. I'll maybe do 10, 15 minutes of as many different examples of what they're going to learn. I always sew in front of the class with them. I show, get them started. I sew the first couple of steps, something that they immediately do right after me. Mm-hmm. Or they may even be sewing with me. Mm-hmm. I'm just a very specific technique person, and they love it. They're not. I don't let them go ahead on their own. Okay, I'm there. I'm going to show them what they're going to do. And people basically keep together. I just watch the maybe the middle student, not always the fastest and not the slowest. Mm-hmm. Just kind of watch, and when half of them are done with that step, then we go on to the next step. But I make a lot of noise. I like to feature my students and praise them. I mean, I'm an old school teacher, right? That's what you got to do. You just walk over to your students and you tell them, you know, how cool, and feature their work. And they're just like kids too. We're like kids, you know. You beam when somebody tells you you're doing really good. Mm-hmm. So I always say, okay, what grade do you think I taught? And I always want to smack them because they say kindergarten, but that's not true.
No. Did you ever teach any grades?
I did. I actually have a degree in education with a minor in special ed, and that's what I did for 6 years. I taught special education, and I wrote curriculum as well. And so I really honestly went from teaching special, writing curriculum, having babies, and teaching quilting.
Wow.
And so it's, you know, it's very clear to me, you break this big thing like a quilt down in smaller steps, and then anybody can do it. Anybody can feel satisfied and be really happy about it.
Yeah, and your books are excellent. I mean, so many people have learned to quilt with your books, you know, because it does that for them. It gets them going, and it makes it all very doable.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yay.
And then on top of it all, I'm dyslexic, so I have to read my own directions and make sure I understand them. And if I can understand them back, then they're good.
Oh, it's always, that's always good. I can totally get that. You know, it's like, but when you write it, you get so into it yourself that, you know, it's hard to see, you know, what it's supposed to say. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So tell me, Eleanor, about your store in Paducah, Kentucky. What do you have there that's different or unique to your California location?
Oh, gosh, I love that store. First of all, it was built in the late 1800s. It is in downtown Paducah in the old part of town. What I love about it the most is the upstairs. The downstairs, it's long and narrow, kind of really long and narrow, and it's loaded with fabric. But upstairs, there are living quarters. There's 3 bedrooms and a great kitchen, 2 baths. And we teach teacher training up there. And we also have people come in for hands-on sewing. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic. We can put 20 teachers in training. We'll set up all of their sewing machines. We have enough for hands-on and a lecture area. I did a dinner before the big Paducah show last year, and I think we had about 80 people came to dinner and just asked questions, and we played bingo. But it's the whole ambiance of Paducah that I totally love. It's so fantastic. We also do have a warehouse there that we've owned for several years now. Orion's hoping to move more sales into the warehouse area. He's got this big plan for building this add-on building. But that's going a little slow, but he's got big plans. But it's just Paducah. I love to go to the museum there, and people can just walk right from the museum over to our store, and it's great to walk at night and go to the restaurants and antique shops.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous little town. If people haven't been, they really need to go.
It is. It's really, it's a destination, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I want to ask you one more question, Eleanor. And what when you go to a show, what is the first thing you're drawn to? The quilts, the shopping, the food, what is
it? Of course, I had right for the antique quilt. Of course. I love to collect, and all of the traditional types of quilts. I spend a lot of time there and get a lot of my ideas from there. Basically, of course, I do the traditional, but I just have to sew it untraditionally. I love to shop at the at all of the booths that sell antique stores. And yes, I go and buy fabric. I'm so crazy. I own a quilt shop that has thousands and thousands of bolts, but I still go in these little shop hops when I'm out around, you know, doing teaching myself. I just can't leave the store without this purchase. Absolutely.
I hear you, because you know you always see fabric you haven't bought for your store that you like, and you just want a little piece of it, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, even in my own store, I say to my store manager, you know, I say, Cindy, can I have a piece of this fabric? And she'll say, Elle, you already own all the fabric. Of course you can have a piece. But yeah. Passion. It's your passion. You just have to stroke it and smell it. You know, it's just so cool.
I don't hang it up and display just the fabric. Do you ever do that?
I like back quarter bundles that are tied with a pretty bow because it looks done.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty all by their decoration then.
You're right. You just set it out in your living room on the end table and look at it and think about what you might do with it.
Yeah. Well, Eleanor, this has been so fantastic to have you on the show. Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations on being inducted into the Quilters Hall of Fame. So incredible for you.
Thank you.
Everybody visit Eleanor out at eleanorburns.com, and I'll see you soon, Eleanor.
All right.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and our next guest is Sandy Gervais.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzy Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. Our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am just have my second megastar on today, Sandy Gervais, who is just an incredible fabric designer and quilt maker. She has been designing fabric for Moda for many, many years, and I believe I probably bought her very first fabrics when I started quilting because they just speak to the soul. They are just so delightful, and I love everything she produces. So, you know, Sandy's going to come on here now and tell us a little bit about what she's doing and how she got started. So, hi, Sandy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Glad to be here on your show.
Oh, I just love your fabric. And really, I am a fan. I think I bought, you know, how many years have you been designing fabric?
I'm in my 18th year with Moda.
Oh, well, I think I bought the first line. I'm sure if I go back through everything, I could find it. Do you remember the name of your first fabric line?
Actually, my first line of fabric didn't have a name. This was going way back 18 years, and they just named it Pieces from My Heart. It didn't really have a name. And there were kind of four little groups within the group. There were four different borders and then four different little groupings. It was like 99 pieces all together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 99?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But then that was when there were four Moda designers.
Yeah.
Three Moda designers.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes. It just when they started up, you know, you have to get it rolling.
Yeah.
And you, oh, geez. So, Sandy, tell me, I want to get a little backstory on you. And I know that you started out with a totally different career than being in the quilt industry. So what did you first do?
Well, I always sewed. All my life I sewed clothes and such. And then after I got married, because of the advice of my high school counselor, he didn't think that I should go to college or to art school to become a card designer. I just kind of lost interest, and I didn't have any other thing that I wanted to do.
Oh.
And so I ended up just starting to make finished goods for craft stores or gift stores, I should call them, back.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sick of making the same thing over and over again. So that's when I decided.
Real?
Yeah, that's why you said, you know, I'm going to do the greeting cards because then I can design it once and print it, and I don't have to keep making them over and over again.
Yeah.
So I started with the greeting cards.
And did you actually produce them yourself, or did you work for another company?
No, we produced them ourselves, and I had a rep that went to all the major gift shows, you know, like in Kansas City and Atlanta and Dallas, and, you know, showed them, and stores bought them that sold cards.
Oh, wow. That's
so I had
a
rep.
Business.
I didn't do any of the selling.
Yeah, that's like a whole other job, isn't it, the selling
part? It would
part.
Be, yes, it would be.
Yes. So at some point, you got back into sewing. How did that happen?
Well, then after, you know, in the 70s, the fabric stores kind of started disappearing, and so I wasn't sewing anymore. And then after the greeting cards, quilting was kind of coming around, and I live in a rural area, and all of a sudden there was a little quilt shop in the area, and I just had a craving to sew again. So I started making little, at that time it was like little wall hangings. This was the height of cutesy country. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of little wall hangings and such, and then started patterns. And in 92, I went to St. Louis Quilt Market, and that's where Moda found me.
Ah, was that your first quilt market?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh, Sandy.
Yes.
It's like the Cinderella moment.
It is. Mr. Dunn and Cheryl Freiberg, the director of design, just came by my booth, and they had liked what they had saw and asked me to design fabric.
So you always have, in your fabric lines, do you always have a panel, which is sort of reminds me of the greeting card idea?
You know, if you now that you know that I've been a greeting card designer, you can see the overlap of it. Yes, my panel's all... You know, every line has a panel, and every line has what they call the big signature print.
Mm-hmm.
But my panels are, yes, kind of more like images.
Yeah, they're more like a picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I always like that about, you know, your panels I've always loved for that exact reason, is that you could just take them, put a border on them, quilt them, and you have like an instant quilt.
And I think that's why they sell well, because that's what people use them for.
You know, and I actually tell people when they want to learn to free motion quilt, I always tell them to go get a panel because they're all, you know, they haven't like had to do all that work themselves. You've
right.
Done
they
it
don't
for
have
them.
They don't have a ton of hours in it if it doesn't turn out right.
Yes, yes. It's a good practice thing. So when you started your designing your fabrics, did you keep a certain style, or were you experimenting? How did it roll for you in the beginning?
Well, it just, you know, it just changes from time to time. You know, you look back at where you started, and you look at the things now, and people say, well, they can still tell it's Sandy Gervais, mm-hmm. but yet it's evolved over the years. When I started, it was quite primitive, folk arty.
Mm-hmm. And now it's really...
It's a little more refined, I would say, than primitive folky.
Right, right. And I think that that's where I found you. We had a folk art store, and so she carried, you know, all of, you know, your things, and because they had that look. But I do, I love, like, you have one line that I missed buying, but my friends bought it, that had some gorgeous birds on it. Was that Tranquility?
Tranquility, yes. That is one of my favorite lines, actually. And I like the coloring, and I liked that was kind of a different looking panel for me, kind of a collage. It had six mm-hmm. pictures of birds.
Yes, that must be what it is. I just love the whole, your whole artwork. It's gorgeous.
And so, I do all my own, you know, I hand paint my artwork.
That's what I was just going to ask you. What is your process? I mean, so what do you have, like big, do you do it on canvas or paper?
I do paper, and I do usually always paint to size. So I actually mm-hmm. paint the panel out like 22 by 44.
Uh-huh.
And my process is pretty simple. I sit and think. I draw teeny tiny. I have to draw very tiny. I cannot draw big. I have to draw very teeny tiny, like inch big. Like my panel mm-hmm. that I draw, the pre-panel that I sketch out will only be about 2 inches tall.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and then I scan it in and... after I've drawn it to make it bigger.
Mm.
And then
wow.
And then after that I paint.
So what kind of paint do you use? Are you acrylics or?
I just use acrylics. Mm-hmm. Now when I did my greeting cards, those were all watercolor.
Oh.
But the fabric is, I just use acrylics.
Yeah.
And I do quite a bit of, I do a lot in fact of mixing of the paint myself, because I see a paint color in my head and mm-hmm. of course it's not in the paint chart. Like my new line of Valentine's fabric is called Flirt, and the red is, I had this in my head, this color, and of course I couldn't find it on the paint chart,
mm-hmm.
and I spent about half to a three-fourths of a day mixing and mixing and mixing until I got that color that I wanted that was in my head.
You have such devotion, Sandy.
That's my favorite part, is mixing the paint.
Did you go to school to learn art at all, or was it just in high school?
No, because my high school counselor...
Yeah, he said you
that
should.
That wasn't a good idea.
What does he know?
Well, at the time, he told me that an A in high school art does not make you an artist.
yeah, well, you know, you've proven that wrong for sure. When you're working, Sandy, do you like to work in quiet? I'm always curious how people work. Do you work in quiet? Do you play music? Do you like chit-chat? Does it take you weeks or days or months?
Well, you know, most of the time I work totally by myself. I have seamstresses. I have three seamstresses that come in when we need to get the quilts done, because we never have a lot of time to get the quilts done. Mm. But like when I'm painting my fabric and designing quilts, I'm usually here by myself. So I'm used to, and I don't play music. I'm used to just quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you just sort of get in your zone.
I get in my zone. Yes, I do.
So do you pull out, let's say you're doing a fall line. Will you decorate your place with fall stuff or snowmen in the summer if you're trying to paint snow? I mean, how do you get the sew machine out so you got snowflakes to get in the mood?
No, I don't. But, you know, by the time I'm done painting my Christmas line, I'm usually, like, in my head singing Christmas carols. I don't sing out loud because I can't sing. But in my head, I'm singing them.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes the hardest part. When I'm trying to design something at a season change, it's like I so do not want snowmen in, mm-hmm. like, April. Mm-hmm. You know, I want bunnies and flowers and mm-hmm. stuff. Do you ever run into that problem?
You know, I really, it's been 18 years I've adjusted to that.
Oh. Well, that's good. It's a good thing.
Right.
Does any of your family work with you?
No, when the kids were little, I think as any fabric or pattern designer, I am sure everybody's kids have bagged patterns sometime or another. And of course mine didn't enjoy doing it, but they did it.
Yeah, it's mandatory. It's like cleaning their room.
Yeah, so if their mother designed patterns, they bagged them sometime or another.
How did you manage? You've always worked at home, or I know you have an incredible studio. I want to talk about that on the next segment. But when you started, did you work at home?
I did. My greeting cards, I did those all at home. I did all the painting. We had a little enclosed back porch, and that was where I did all my painting. And I had I started that when my youngest was in kindergarten, so I still had small children. And I did all my painting either while they were in school or after they had gone to bed.
Ah, and so you really didn't have to fiddle too much with, you did it when they weren't really there, sort of.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's what a lot of people struggle with is when you work at home, how do you balance all of that?
Right. And I just chose to do it while they weren't home.
So you just stayed up all night. That was it.
I did a lot of late hours, and I can't stay up like I used to, but I used to do a lot of late hours.
Oh, my gosh. So, Sandy, do you have any idea how many patterns that you have designed?
You know, I do because, I know how many single patterns I've done. I just finished designing my Flirt Valentine's line, which is the latest line I've done. And that pattern, the last pattern, was 565.
Holy cow.
Those are single patterns. Those are just single patterns. And then I've done, I don't know how many project books and wool applique and stitcheries. Those are all, different numbers. So I would say maybe 100 more past that, probably 600.
And do you still have them, all the quilts?
You know, I do.
Oh.
I do. I haven't gotten rid of anything. Isn't that my poor kids?
Do you have the, okay, now I really need to know this because I'm having this problem with having so many quilts. Do you store them in a certain way so that you can find them, or do you just sort of, they're just sort of all in one spot?
The early ones are actually, we own a print shop, and the early ones are in boxes down there, and they are all numbered. And then a lot of them are here at my studio, and they're on display.
Ah, so you are a little bit organized with that.
Oh, I don't think you'd call it organized, but
I don't know. I'm like out of control, Sandy, with my stuff. It's like I have no idea where anything is.
And well, creative people are never organized, really, are we?
No, I don't think so. We pretend. We put on a good show a bit, to say we are. So, hey, Sandy, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about your studio and then a few other things. So we're going to be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio in just a minute.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We'll be right back.
American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am having such an enjoyable day talking to Eleanor Burns and now Sandy Gervais. So, Sandy, you must be one of the most prolific fabric designers out there because you do more than two lines a year. Tell us a little bit about, you know, I'm really curious, how many lines do you do each year?
Well, way back when Moda hired me, you know, like I said, there were just three designers, and I was kind of always their season girl. I could draw. I did, you know, the Christmas and the Halloween and the Valentine's and a spring Americana or summer line, and then the two market lines for spring market and fall market, which are usually just kind of a generic line. They're not based around a season. So I do six lines a year.
So this is pretty much, I mean, like a lot of fabric designers, they do multiple things. But for you, it's a very focused career of pretty much the fabric and the patterns.
Right.
Yeah. Because you would have no time to do anything else, Sandy, my dear.
I don't really. If I, you know, if I'm not designing a line, then I'm generating the patterns for to go with the previous line that I've just designed.
Yeah, yeah. And what is your current line in the store? Because since you have so many, you know, they pop into the stores all year long. But what's hitting the stores about now?
Well, Merry Medley is just hitting the stores, and that's a Christmas line. The panel has big bells in it. There's, you know, some music note prints and just some real traditional Christmas prints. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my two fall lines, Phenomenal Fall, which is fall, very traditional fall. And then the Halloween line was called Monster Bash, and it's more bright and funky and kind of goofy little monsters.
Oh, cute, cute. Now, can people see this from your site, piecesfrommyheart.net? Can they get to your fabric collections from there?
They can get to Moda from there.
Okay. All
and right. I don't sell the fabric, so I sometimes will have just a little icon with the piece of fabric on it, and then that will get them to Moda.
Okay, and you also have a blog, and you share, you know, what's going on in your life, and we've done blog hops together. That's a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so now let's talk about this incredible workspace that you were able to acquire. How long have you been in your space that you're in right now?
Just short of 10 years.
Ah, okay. That's, you're really settled in at 10 years.
I am. Yeah. Oh, boy, when I have to move.
Oh, so tell us exactly that you are in a library.
An old Carnegie library that was built in 1904, and it originally was the library here in Algona. And I would say maybe in the 80s it was no longer a library, and it's been a youth center, it's been a senior citizen center, it's been a gift shop was the last thing it was before I took it over.
Oh. So how many rooms do you have there?
It's very much like the Carnegie Libraries. It has three rooms. Back in the day, libraries were quite homey looking. I've just actually somebody just sent me pictures of what the inside looked like. You know, there's a fireplace room.
Oh.
Yes, and it has many big windows, which is very nice.
Nice.
You know, almost to the floor windows. And the room with the most windows, of course, is where the girls sew. And then the old library counter is still here, a big U-shaped horseshoe-type looking counter, and that's where I have all my computer and my printer, and that's where I do all that kind of work.
Okay, okay. So you really don't work in your home very much? You do most of it at the studio?
I don't do anything at home anymore.
Oh, okay.
All in the studio.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I don't want to drag this mess home.
Yeah. And it. Is it far from your home? Do you have a long commute?
About 2 minutes.
Sandy, you have that perfect life, girl. 2 minute commute.
It is. And that includes stopping at the donut shop.
Oh, and you have a donut shop. Okay, I'm moving. Except for I think it's cold where you live sometimes. So
it is very cold sometimes.
Yeah. sometimes. Yeah,
and very hot sometimes.
Yes. So when you paint, you're doing all your painting there. Do you have like a room that's like sort of more allows you to be a little bit more messy? Or are you a neat painter?
Maybe I am not a neat painter. No, I'm not. The room where I do my painting is where my counter is, where my computers are, and it has also some big windows in it, and I just have a huge table and then a big light table where I paint.
Oh, so you're just doing it right there in the middle of everything.
I do, right in the middle of everything.
Yeah. So do your the girls or the ladies, I'm sorry, the ladies who come in and work with you, your seamstresses, do they come every day? Or is it more like, I mean, since you have six lines a year, I would imagine that there's always a need to be sewing something.
Right. So six times a year when we need to get the quilts out, then they come. Like we just finished Flirt today. In fact, at noon today, they finished Flirt.
Yay.
And so then they were done. And, yes, whenever we need quilts done, I have seamstresses that come in. I do all the cutting and any, you know, I've already generated designed everything on the computer because we have to do that ahead of time so Moda can sell the patterns mm-hmm. with the fabric. Mm-hmm. And so they're already all designed. So once I get the fabric, I do all the cuttings, and the girls sew while I cut. And then while they're sewing, I also start, you know, tweaking the instructions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does it ever happen to you, Sandy, that you've got something that you think is going to work out and it just doesn't?
Oh, heavens yes. Haven't we all?
Yes. Do you ever just throw that one away, or does it sometime down the road work out?
Well, we have a little trunk that's called the Too Ugly to Live trunk. And that's where we stick that stuff. And sometimes we have gotten blocks out, and I like one time I made my daughter a kind of a collage, and I used one of the blocks in the collage, and it turned out very, very cool.
Ah, so you took all of the extras, we'll call them.
Yes, the extras.
The extras. And do you ever?
Sometimes you just have extra blocks, you know.
Right, you're testing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So do you ever sell any of your finished quilts, or you said you kept all of them? Is that mean really
I have.
All of them?
I've given a couple, you know, for auctions, charity mm-hmm. auctions, but I haven't sold them yet. I need to because we're running out of room. This is a very big library, and we're running out of room. And the nice thing about this library is the shelves were still here, so that's where all the fabric is.
So your fabric is like lining the walls where there would have been books.
Yes. So it really, if you walk in here, and people still accidentally walk in here. Mm-hmm. Thinking it's still a store. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they think it's a fabric store.
Right. And there's that crazy lady in the middle painting everything.
Yes.
You know, what is she doing? That's.
And they do. They go, what do you do here?
Yeah. Oh, do you have like a big lock on the front door? That must be difficult when your business used to be public and now it's private.
Well, when I first moved in, I did have to put a sign on the door that said, not open to the public because it was just people were coming all the time. Now everybody's pretty much figured it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I am painting a line of fabric and it's getting pretty messy around here, yeah, I'll lock the door.
Yeah. Nobody comes in.
Yeah.
None. Oh, my goodness. Well, I just wanted to tell you, in case you didn't realize, Orfill Thread, we do a Designer of the Month project, and for this year, we're using your Sassy fabric.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. So people can go and check the Orfill blog and see Sandy's fabric in use. So I'm curious, you are, Sandy, the best dressed girl and the block whenever we go to the trade show. I mean, do you just like, you have the best style, you have fabulous glasses, the best shoes, you know, do you dress like that all the time, or, you know, just for the show?
Well, I look a little nicer at the show than I do every day of the week. I try and clean up a little bit for the show.
Oh, darn.
I have always loved clothes. I just always have loved clothes. And of course, shoes, that's my biggest weakness. And as a child, I had to wear glasses starting in kindergarten, and I really always hated glasses. And then about 15 years ago, I just decided, well, let's just make them fun. So mm-hmm. I just started wearing fun glasses.
I know. I can't wait to get to market to come and see what your glasses are, because you find the best ones. They're always so adorable on you too.
Well, thank you.
And you're not afraid of color, are you?
I love color. I love to work with color more than anything. That makes me the happiest.
When you're doing your fabric lines, your lines do change. I mean, they're not all in one colorway.
No.
Are you researching some colors, or just sort of what the feel of the topic is?
Well, a lot of it, of course, is, you know, determined by, you know, Christmas, of course, is, mm-hmm. you know, you can't stray too far. You can, mm-hmm. but not too far.
Right.
But I just observe color. I'm always looking at color mm-hmm. combinations. Some people are looking at something else, and I'm looking at the color of it.
Mm-hmm. So when you're traveling, you know, you just sort of absorb all that, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, so do you ever take photos? I'm always, you know, just curious how people, I think sometimes you just, you know, it just sticks in your head, but do you do a lot of photography?
No, I don't. And I can remember color very well. You know how some people, if they need to match, they need to find a sweater to go with a skirt or something, and they drag the skirt around shopping? I never have to drag the skirt around. I know.
Oh, wow.
And therefore, you know, back to the clothes, I rarely buy an outfit that, you know, this sweater was meant to go with this skirt, and mm-hmm. this blouse was meant to go under it. I rarely buy that.
Ah.
I'll buy a piece of it and then go find mm-hmm. something else to put with it.
Yeah, because your outfits are just amazing. I mean, I can't even tell people, you know, how cute you always are. So it's like really fun to watch what you wear, because you're very, you know, very bold colors. So you always look very put together, my dear.
Oh, well, thank you.
Now, can you give me a tip? We were going to talk tips, and I forgot about it. So can you give me one of your top tips before we're done?
Well, my seamstress, Sandy Kay, actually taught me this. She was doing a pinwheel block, and you know how it's kind of hard to get those little 4 points all to match. And sometimes mm-hmm. you sew the whole seam, and then you realize you missed it, so you got to rip the whole seam out. Mm-hmm. Well, she just sews that tiny little juncture where they meet, mm. and then she checks to see if it's right. And if it's not, she only has that little half inch to rip out instead of the whole across the whole block.
Perfect tip, Sandy. Thank her for us.
It works.
Yes. Well, Sandy Gervais, this has been amazing to have you on the show. Thank you.
I'm so glad you invited me.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Please come back next week for our all new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.